Our psalm meditation today is Psalm 149. Please turn in your New King James Bibles to Psalm 149.
Psalm 149. In this New King James Version, praise to God for His salvation and judgment. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and His praise in the assembly of saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise His name with the dance. Let them sing praises to Him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all His saints. Praise the Lord. Okay, we've been looking at the last several psalms. The praise to God that we see on earth that's claimed by God as He has finished His covenant of salvation and brought redemption to the earth. We've seen over the last few psalms how He cares for His people and His providence, how He bears up His people and binds their wounds. The happiness of those whose help is the Lord. Last week we looked at the praise to Jehovah from all of creation, from the heavens, the seas, the land, the animals, the seasons, the weather. We saw that all people owed God praise and thanksgiving and glory, who owed God their worship and their loyalty. All of these things come about, again, as I said, through the covenant of grace, through redemption. Redemption's an important word. It's one that maybe we don't think about properly often enough. The evangelical church talks about the gospel as being saved from your sin, saved from hell, saved from God's wrath. But we forget that we're saved too, that we're saved to praise for the God of creation. We're saved to joy and worship. We're saved to the redeemed life, the life returning back to the way it should have been if man hadn't fallen, the good life that God had created. We won't see that totally fulfilled in this life. None of us here will. I believe it'll get better and better and more, but until the new heavens and the new earth, we won't see it in its fullness. But we are called to many things in our new life. And the one that's being spoken of here is joy in our God, joy in our new life, joy in the redemption that God has given us. Psalm 149, it starts with, again, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Jehovah, the God of creation, the God of salvation. Sing to the Lord. Sing to Jehovah a new song and His praise in the assembly of saints. Now, I'm going to touch on a couple of errors in this psalm that people bring up sometimes. People who are against exclusive psalmody will say, look, it says for us to sing a new song, so that means we can write new songs. And we'll say, well, look at the context. There's a new song being written here. When Psalm 149 was put out for the people to sing, it was a new song, wasn't it? So they had the command to sing this new song. But the understanding, the context, the meaning of this is now that we're redeemed, our song takes on a new character. Our life takes on a new character. We are now redeemed and we can sing praise to our God. But this doesn't give any excuse to sing other than psalms in the worship of God, because it is a psalm, people. Come on. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Now, Israel being the covenant people of God, not necessarily the bloodline of Jacob, of course. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. We have an example of Hebrew parallelism here again, the same thing being said twice, slightly different ways to bring about the understanding of it better. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion, of course, being the covenant community, be joyful in their King. We are called to rejoice. Now, we are members of the conservative, covenantal Presbyterian branch of the Christian church. The one that's often called the frozen chosen. We're thought to be intellectual in our faith and not emotional in our faith. The truth is, properly done, our intellect rules our emotion, but both are subordinated, both are given over to the worship, to the joy of our Lord. Here we are called to rejoice in our Maker, to be joyful in our King. We should sing happy songs. We should be not dour. Now, isn't it funny that that word's almost always followed by Scots? But we're not to be sad, not to be dour Christians. We're to be happy, joyful Christians in our God. Let them praise His name with the dance. Let them sing praises to Him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. We forget that, don't we? Too often we forget. Jehovah takes pleasure in us. He saved us because He loves us, but then He joys in us. He joys in our joy. He rejoices in our happiness. So if we're sour, dour, quiet, cold Christians, we're robbing our Lord of some of the worship that we owe Him, our happiness, our joy, and our love. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. The idea of an ascetic Christian who's living a life apart from the joys of this life is wrong. It's simply quite wrong. We are to take joy in all the good things that God has given, all the good things that appeal to the human heart, but not the twisted, darkened, contaminated, corrupted way that the world takes pleasure in them. But the things themselves aren't wrong. It's the way they're used. It's the heart that's behind them. It's the sin that the good things of God are put to that's the problem. But we are to joy in our God. Look what we have here. We've got dance and music and pleasure. Those are the things that God takes pleasure in with us. We are humble. We are low. And the Amish say we should stay that way. But no, God will beautify the humble with salvation. Now, again, we have here mention of musical instruments. And people say, well, look, there's a reason for us to use them in worship. Well, it also says dance. So if that proves musical instruments, then it proves a little too much for most people. It doesn't mean that we can dance, and I'll get to that in a moment. This song's not about worship. This song's about our life. Our life lived in joy and service to our God. So we are to use these things in our life, dance, music, joy, and pleasure. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Hey, wait a minute. If this says we can dance in church and we can have instruments in church, we should all bring beds to church too. I guess we should be worshiping on our Sealy Posturepedic out there. We need a bigger sanctuary. We're not going to be able to get them all in here. No, the truth is, again, the pointing out that this is our life is to be driven by joy and worship and service to our God in all that we do. As we're sitting around at our leisure at home and we dance with our families, when we sing, when we do anything, it's to be done in joy and thought of the salvation that God has given us. Our life dedicated, everything we do dedicated in thanks and in praise to our God who's redeemed us, redeemed the world, redeemed everything that He's given us. All these things that used to be questionable, used to be dangerous, used to be tempting in a bad way, are now to be used in joy and pleasure and grace and thanks to our God. Even when we're in bed, when we're in our glory, when all that we do, we're to be doing that to our God's glory. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. The high praises of God are found in His Word. And a two-edged sword in their hand. Now, this is often spiritualized to mean the Bible, but it also means that the people of God aren't to be pacifist, passive. To execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains, their nobles with fetters of irons, to execute on them the written judgment, this honor have all His saints. Now I'm going to step on some toes. First of all, we are not to use the sword to forcibly convert. That is not seen in here. People will say, you can't do that. Well, yeah, we can't. It's not in here. That's never given to the Christian. Convert or die is not the cry of the Christian. Serve your God is. And if you look back in our founding documents, back to Westminster and before, you'll see that the magistrate is properly said to be able to have the authority, the power, the responsibility to enforce both tables of the law. And that's what this is speaking of. As the nations become Christians, those who do wickedness in public will be punished according to God's law, not according to our desires, not according to what some Ayatollah of the Christian church decides you should or shouldn't do, but as it says, to execute on them the written judgment. But we can't do that. That would be wrong. I'm talking about the written word of God, people. It is never wrong to obey the written word of God. To say the wicked don't think we should do that, so we shouldn't do that, is kind of dumb. Of course the wicked say we shouldn't do that. But God's word, and hopefully God's people, understand that it is a responsibility for us to rule the nations as the gospel spreads. Not forcibly convert. I'm going to keep throwing that disclaimer in there. But to rule them for our God. To bind their kings with chains, the wicked ones. Their nobles with fetters of irons. To execute on them the written judgment. The judgment of God's word. And look at the last line. And this, how can we ever hope to have the joy of our God if we turn away things? This honor have all his saints. It is an honor to speak God's word. It is an honor for those who are called to civil power to enforce God's word as written upon all people who owe him obedience. This psalm tells us that all of life is to be done in joy and in service to God. No part of life is separate from that. Nothing is put outside the rule of God. Nothing is outside of his right to claim. And when we start marking parts out, whether it's civil authority or our entertainments or anything else, and say, this is mine and not yours, God, well, we take away our joy, we take away his joy, we grieve the Holy Spirit, and we bring ourselves liable to discipline. So let us sing this psalm. Let us sing it joyfully, because it's a joyful song. But see that responsibilities from God are also honors. And the gifts from God are joy and praise. And let's try to remember to live our life in service, in love to our God of creation, so all men owe him, but our God of salvation, so we can do no less than to give him our love and our honor. Psalm 149.